This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 114. So today, I am joined again by Romulo Reyes. We spoke earlier to Romulo in episode 102 and 108, where he introduced himself and we discussed at length the gaming industry and his elite global solutions outsourcing firm that offer very specialized gaming and development services. So today we speak more broadly to Romulo. He's very engaged in the tech community, but also just generally the outsourcing and commerce community of the Philippines. So I wanted to tap into his insight there. And, you know, we're discussing it, of course, from the perspective of how the West can and should leverage the opportunities here in the Philippines. So I'm sure you'll enjoy it, and there's a lot to learn. Certainly, I learned a lot from Romulo. So if you want any of the show notes or to get in touch with Romulo, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/114. Enjoy. Okay, so I'm excited to be joined by Romulo Reyes again of Elite Global Sourcing. Mm-hmm. Elite is a, I will let Romulo introduce himself, but we have spoken previously to Romulo. We've heard about his journey and we've heard about Elite and what they offer. So you can go back and listen to those episodes, but I want to bring Romulo back to hack his mind about where the Philippines is going and the opportunity here. So welcome back, Romulo.
Thanks for having me, Derek.
And do you just want to give people a quick background as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm Romulo Reyes. I'm the Managing Director for Elite Global Sourcing. I handle the business, operations, marketing and sales, B2B, B2C for the company.
Fantastic. And you're Filipino, obviously, for those that aren't aware. I mean, because as well, like, accents are so neutral. I mean, they say neutral, but actually it's quite U.S. But were you educated in the U.S.?
No, I actually took up development communication here in the Philippines, University of the Philippines.
Fantastic. And I just want to explore the opportunities of outsourcing. And, you know, one of my biggest arguments is that the world is becoming, through technology, through the internet, is becoming a smaller and smaller place, and geographical borders are becoming less relevant. But also with that, not wanting to get too philosophical, but institutional education is becoming less relevant, you know, especially in the sort of higher technological spaces. Mm-hmm. But are you seeing, if you were starting out again, Romulo, if you were like 17 years old and you had an interest in gaming, in today's world, how would you go about educating yourself? Would you go to university? Would you just go online to a forum and figure out how to code? How do people do it these days?
I think there is no easy way to answer that question. But for the most part, personally, myself, first thing is I'd still go to, you know, to university. Why? I want to be well-rounded. It's not so much that I cannot research and then learn on my own, but also I'd rather, from an earlier age, talk to a lot of subject matter experts, a lot of these influencers within, you know, these different industries, and then just absorb everything they have to say inside and outside of the classroom. But if I had a choice, and, you know, if I can have this 2020 vision of what I would have been doing for the next, you know, remaining days of my life, I'd go back and then study data engineering. You know,
because you see that as a foundational kingpin to everything of the future,
correct. Data engineering, I mean, it's not hugely popular right now, but it can be applied to nearly every aspect, not just of gaming, but everything in life, finance, banking, healthcare, security, even the military. And, you know, I think that's a very good foundation in terms of developing your education. And I'm strongly encouraging everyone not just to go out and learn on their own, but also look at these institutions, learning institutions, not, you know, you don't, it doesn't have to be a university. It can be a small college, or, you know, if they can afford to go to these small training centers. I mean, the government's practically giving free training right now. Mm. Just go there and then learn from these people, absorb it like a sponge.
Right. And, you know, I preach to people out there in the West, there's a huge opportunity to, at the end of the day, save a ton of money by outsourcing to the Philippines. Yeah. You know, salaries can be 90% cheaper. You were saying in a previous episode that salaries for high-end developers can be up to 60% cheaper kind yes. of thing. The savings are massive, but it's not just about savings. Correct. You need a good product. You need a good result, and you don't want to be pulling your hair out when you know, you are going through the process of delivering that.
Correct.
So there's a lot of other factors, but also there's, with outsourcing, a huge opportunity for innovation and growth yeah. when you have access to a big pool of cheaper resources.
Correct.
So, you know, I see huge opportunity with outsourcing, but it's not a magic bullet, and mm-hmm. it's not all happy days. Like, there are differences in culture, there are differences in expectations.
Yeah.
You know, it can be difficult to manage a remote team, but do you see those things as converging, and any issue of sort of outsourcing of the past is now getting removed, and soon there is no difference between outsourcing and yeah. insourcing?
Yeah, let me go back, I think, back to 2006. Wow, that feels like yesterday, but actually 11 years ago, wow. So I was working for a major BPO here in the Philippines, and video conferencing wasn't really a big thing. Mm. You know, I mean, the technology was there, but for some reason, we just did con calls, you know? So we really don't see each other. That's a small portion of how communication affects outsourcing. Mm. We're trying to blur the lines between the geographic locations of both offices, even culture, even language. Because the moment that you see this person, right now, everyone's doing video con. In Google Hangouts, Viber, Skype, you name it. I mean, for Elite Global Sourcing, as an example, we are servicing Korean, South Korea companies, Chinese companies, North American companies, European companies. And we, in fact, probably a little less than half of the clients that we have, we've never met face-to-face. Mm. And they've been with us for 3 or 4 years. So my point is, right now, technology and the way that people work have advanced to a certain degree we're in. Video conferencing is already bridging so many of that gaps. But what's really lacking right now is the soft touch, the human element. I think that's what a lot of these smaller and medium-sized BPOs need to understand. It's not really how much you invest that would really drive the customer or the client satisfaction. But it's also how much sincerity and integrity that you put into your work, because people feel that. Mm. And that is the human touch that I'm talking about. And if people respond more in a certain way, then that really eliminates probably 90% of this misconception about offshoring and its limitations.
Yeah, it's about building a community, yeah. isn't it? With your gaming as well.
Correct.
It's about building a community and a common purpose. And then actually anything else can be surmountable, really. When I was managing a team, I had a team in London and a team here in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of catchiness between teams because the teams were geographically separated. But I find that even in any company, mm-hmm. if you are spread across 5 floors of the same building, you'll get one floor differentiating themselves to the floor above, because it's kind of a tribalism that we all kind of aligned to.
Yeah.
I back in the day, sort of 3, 4, 5 years ago, it was my mission to try and get big monitors on the wall mm-hmm. where there would just be a continual Skype connection so that it would almost be a window from office to office.
Yeah.
And so it would create a sense of community. It never really happened. There was claims that it was one party trying to watch another party, mm-hmm. but I think eventually technology will overcome this
Correct.
Geographical distance, won't it?
Correct. But I'd also like to add, using gaming as an example, that's true. I mean, you have these blue chip companies, right? They've got these multiple floors, multiple separate buildings, and they're trying to make everyone work together. I mean, quite recently, Microsoft just you know, recall people who work at home. They want to bring everyone back to the offices, make things more efficient. But, you know, I'd like to make a case, you know, an example. I was playing this game. This was back in the early 2000s. I was running this game called EverQuest, and it runs on a 56 kbps modem on my phone line. And I was part of this guild, and our guild was comprised of literally 175 people across the world. I mean, I've played with a group of people who didn't even know that the Philippines had internet.
Right.
Yeah, so it was mind-boggling. But anyway, I mean, you've got these people from around the world who've never seen each other. Well, of course, except their characters. There was no voice, only chat. And we were fighting against a guild of 200. So the coordination aspect, the teamwork that you need, I mean, from my more than 25 years of experience, you know, in running companies, is nearly the same as having this, what we call a player versus player battle. And you're not just against a spreadsheet or a board or, let's say, a timetable. You're against other people with the same mindset, which is to defeat you. Very competitive.
So this game didn't have a graphics interface. It was just a text
interface. Oh, no. This had graphics, but right. It had no voice. It's just purely chat.
Right.
And doing a lot of things and then chatting with 175 people trying to destroy other people who'd like to do the same.
Mm.
You know, it's... Well, my point is, I think the secret sauce in making all of these things work, whether you're in the same office or you're thousands of miles away, would be really the culture and the mindset and the attitude. And that's what the best guilds and the most strongest guilds in whatever game that you play, whether you're playing EverQuest, World of Warcraft, Ultima Online, you'd see that the strongest guilds are always goal-driven and have this very strong sense of culture and, you know, well-being.
Mm.
Versus guilds who have already, you know, been defeated and they just disbanded. So, I mean, I've yet to see a study, maybe there is, in terms of the organizational development based off of a study of guilds in online games.
Yeah. There's an interesting metaphor there, isn't there? Yeah. Because often it's the most simple thing that can have the biggest impact, because you, in that gaming environment, you had a huge amount of friction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had very small bandwidth. You couldn't get a lot of information across.
Correct.
You were just kind of texting, chat, and you had 175 people. So
correct.
I imagine there was a lot of cross-messaging. And what I talk about in outsourcing are the points of friction. You know, you're not in the same room, which introduces friction. You might have... a different time zone, which
mm-hmm.
is friction. There's cultural malalignment sometimes,
correct.
Which is friction. But there is friction in everything. And
mm-hmm.
it seemed that, you know, one of the traits for success within your gaming is that there was a very clear
mm-hmm.
common goal,
correct.
In that you had to defeat the other team. And everyone was aware of that.
Correct.
And then it almost made the points of friction irrelevant because you just put up with those and
yeah.
then you knew your common goal and you're all working towards it. Yeah?
Exactly.
Fascinating, isn't it? And, you know, this is in management. So, and what I don't want to preach here, but what I say in outsourcing is, you know, commonly, sure, you've got to train your team, you've got to get the best out of them. But when people start outsourcing, commonly it's the business owner
mm-hmm.
or the team, the foreign guy that needs the training because, you know, they need to learn how to manage these remote teams and how to be culturally aware to get the best out of their team.
Correct.
It's fascinating. Do you find when you have new clients that sometimes it is actually the client that needs educating about how to get the best out of their team?
Yeah, exactly. You know, just to give a specific example, we have a client. And when they approached us, they didn't have any information about the Southeast Asia market. So they didn't know how to, I don't want to say properly, but how to effectively engage the users. And there were a lot of questions like, how do you answer customer service tickets that is multicultural? You have multi-religious background diversity, and they didn't have any knowledge base. Standard operating procedure, even mind map to address that, because mostly their market was North America and Europe, which is, you know, pretty much, I don't want to say the same. I don't want to generalize it to that degree, but more Western, you know,
I'd say
more homogenized.
Yeah.
And you've got Southeast Asia, so many things happening. So We came in and then we worked with their product manager, drafted an a framework for customer service, social network, and esports. And we've agreed on some back and forth, but we agreed on specific strategies on how to approach that. So I think what other companies can learn would be, sometimes clients come to you with a lot of question marks in their head. And if you can come in with your own expertise and experience and try to provide solutions, not just for the business, but for not just for department, but for the entire business, then the value chain becomes much more stronger between, you know, your organizations.
Mm. And it becomes a true partnership then, correct, doesn't it? You're not just a staff leaser. You're actually rolling up your sleeves and, correct, getting into the nitty-gritty of their business.
Yeah.
And they're then, I suppose, absorbing your business expertise and your, yeah, 10 years of experience.
Yeah. And we're more than happy to share that, you know, with everyone.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for your time, Romulo. And if, of course, people want to get in touch with you for any reason at all, how can, yeah, they do that?
Yeah, they can go to our website. It's Elite GSL. It's ELITEGSL.com. You can send us an email there, or you can chat with us. We're available 24/7.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And all of that will be in the show notes, of course.
Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Romulo. That was Romulo Reyes. That was the third time we've spoken to him. If you want to check out the other episodes, or if you want to get in touch with Romulo, then go to our show notes. We'll put all of the links in there. You can find these notes at outsourceaccelerator.com/114. And if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.